What up, guys? Jay Gonzalez, and welcome to my podcast. So today, we have a very special guest with us, Mr. Ataka, a.k.a. George Burgos.
What's up, everybody?
So as you guys know, me and my partner, Gracie Flores, are a new partnership. Gracie has been in the scene for a cool minute, but I haven't. So George is actually one of my biggest mentors when it comes to everything in the scene, to be honest. He helps me with my dancing. He helps me be a better instructor. And then he also helps me with the whole business side and really understanding how promoters look at you and how the crowd looks at you and much more. So I decided to get him on the podcast and really share pretty much everything that he shares with me to you guys. So let's go. And before we even start on that, let's actually talk a little bit about who you are and give the crowd a brief introduction of who George Ataka Burgos is.
Bam.
Boom.
All right, so first off, I just want to thank Jay Gonzalez and obviously, you know, just for having me here. This is, I love talking about what I'm passionate about. So just a quick little bio. I started dancing probably when I was, I would say my sophomore year, junior year of college. I was probably about 22, 23. So that was probably, I think, 2006, 2007. Really got locked in. I really enjoyed the whole salsa scene. And then I wanted to kind of get more into it. I saw that people were traveling and actually making it a career, which I never knew was even possible. So I said, why not give it a shot? I started looking for partners. And then I met my partner, who I've been together with now for 10 years, Miss Alemana, Tanya Kensinger. So we tried to be a salsa couple. That didn't work out too well because we were not as educated in that style. We had only been dancing for like a year and a half. So to come up with a choreography was really difficult for us. So as a backup, we had danced bachata socially pretty well. People had enjoyed our vibe. So one of Tanya's friends at the moment said, hey, why don't you guys do a bachata routine? Could be something, you know, cool. In the meantime, you guys work on your salsa. And that was it. We put a bachata routine together to a song called Te Extraño by Grupo Extreme. We loaded that video up on YouTube in 2008. And that's all she wrote. The video went viral. And it just kind of opened up the doors for myself and Tanya to explore this whole new venue or this whole new venture when it came to bachata. Because obviously we wanted to be salseros, but we're so happy that we took that turn. So that's just a little backup as far as how we initiated. And yep, I'm part owner of I Didn't Touch Dance Academy, alongside my two business partners, my two amazing business partners, Rudy Lopez and Tigre del Mambo, DJ Tigre, and then my beautiful, lovely fiance slash partner, Tanya Kensinger, La Alemana.
Boom. Ahí está todo. Time out. Before we even... I want to know when you say you started dancing at 23. What was the first dance class you took?
So I didn't take a dance class per se. I went to college on a baseball scholarship. It was right outside of Tampa, Florida, in Pasco County. So it was about 45 minutes out, kind of like in the country, nothing around. So we would just kind of venture out of the campus to go to different nightclubs. And then my roommate, who ironically was the shortstop, so basically I was second base, he was a shortstop, he was my roommate, and we were the only two Puerto Ricans on the team. So we basically needed to kind of venture out and find some Latin, some Latin vibes. So we went to a place called Hyde Park Cafe in Tampa, Florida, which was the happening spot. We went out there, we saw people dancing. Then we met two girls that were dancing a style that was like really kind of like intricate. But more than anything, we were hating on them because one of them was leading the other. And she was leading her better than we danced.
Yeah.
So we started talking to them, and come to find out, one of them was an owner of a dance company in Tampa. The company's name is Salsa Caliente. That's who I started with. And that was it. Like, basically, I just got hooked with the initial vibe because it was all very linear and turns and this and that. Granted, I was a little bit of a hater initially because I always thought that was choreography. I always just assumed, I'm like, nah, these people just, that's all choreography, blah, 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 there's no lead to follow. And then I realized that was completely false. It is truly a style that is lead to follow. I got interested, went to take some classes, got inspired, started teaching, and then just took over.
So you initially were going to be a salsa couple, you and Tanya,
mm-hmm.
and then you transitioned into bachata. So obviously you had a love for salsa, and it was, like, when did you fall, and, like, would you say now that you love bachata more than salsa, or does salsa still have your heart?
I feel the best way to define it is I'm passionate. I have a utter love, desire, and passion for bachata because of what I've been able to one, create through the company, and two, learn.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I've learned so much. But I truly do love, you know, salsa. You know, I was born in Puerto Rico, raised in Orlando, Florida. So the roots of you know, just Latin music and Latin dancing was always a part of my life. Just never thought it was going to be something I could do as a career. So I truly, truly, truly loved salsa. I try to take as many classes and privates as I can possible to maintain my salsa game. So that's definitely my, you know, my...
Got it.
I love it. My
yeah.
passion and my heart is with bachata, but I truly love salsa as well.
Got it. And then, as some of you guys know, George is also a lead role in a new movie coming out this year, Shine. So let's talk about Shine a little bit. And Shine, I know it is a dancing movie. Do you dance bachata or salsa in Shine? How did that work out?
Ironically, I got cast as the lead in the movie, which was a salsa movie. So
okay.
Basically, they were looking for a salsa dancer who can act. Is essentially what they wanted to try and find. But coincidentally, we were at a bachata congress when I got sought out.
Yeah.
So I was at a congress. The director, Anthony Notarillo, who's the director of Shine, was at the congress doing the Kickstarter fund. He walked into an after party. It was like 4:30 in the morning. We
oh,
were
wow.
doing an after party for my business partner, Tigre. So I'm on the mic. You know, we'd all been drinking a little bit, so we're all super happy.
Yeah.
And I'm on the mic, and I'm just, you know, controlling the crowd, doing my MC thing. And he walks in, and he sees me dressed up, how I normally dress. And I was just the way I was controlling the crowd. He's like, I like this guy. He has this vibe that I feel like I need. He came up to me. He's like, yo, have you ever acted before? I said, no. He said, would you act? I was like, yeah, of course I would try it.
Yeah.
So that was it. He gave me a script, gave me 3 days to learn it, auditioned me, and I got the part.
He auditioned where? At the venue? Where
so
you
no. Heard? So the weekend before, we were at D.C. Bachata Congress, and it just so happened the weekend after we were going to be at the L.A. Summer, L.A. Summer Congress. So he's from L.A., so I just so happened that I had to be in LA that next weekend anyway. So he's like, y'all come to your hotel. I'll audition you and go from there. So he came, he brought some actors to my hotel room. I had to run some lines with some girl I've never met before. Nonetheless, I've never even done what is so-called running lines. I didn't
yeah.
know what that meant.
Did you run your lines with Tanya?
I did. Yes. Tanya was a humongous help for me because I didn't really know. I'm very good at memorizing things. I'm just really good at memorizing like
yeah.
long dialogues and stuff like that. So that I wasn't worried and stressed out about that. It was just, what am I supposed to do with this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it didn't really hit me until I saw that there was an opposite line to mine. Yeah. Where I was like, wait, like there's me and there's another person. So does that mean I have
what
actually,
kind of scene was it? Was a love scene, action
It was
scene.
A passionate scene. Like it wasn't necessarily like a love scene, but it was a controversial scene between two love interests in the
Got
in the
it.
Movie.
So you guys were fighting.
So, which was ironic even more because basically Tanya had to be my so-called love interest in the movie and she's my love interest in
yeah.
real life. So, I guess in a sense that really helped me out.
Yeah.
We ran live. She was extremely helpful, very supportive. And that was it. During the audition, she didn't want to be there because she was like really, like she didn't want to make me nervous. So, she went to the gym and then I was running these lines. And, you know, luckily by the time she got back to the gym, you know, the director was like, dude, I love this guy. I want him. So I stayed an extra day. I
yeah.
changed my flight. I got auditioned one more time. And that was it. I got the part.
Nice.
And it was definitely a blessing for me because it was cool to think like a bachata guy, you know
yeah.
what I'm saying, got the lead role in a salsa movie, which, as I mentioned, I love salsa. So
yeah.
this is my opportunity to show people how much I really enjoy salsa.
Got it. And you also get to show people that you are still a salsero.
You got it.
You can still dance. You can still dance salsa because of the fact that you're known as the biggest, probably, to be honest, the biggest bachatero in the scene all time, if you really think about it. You know, not just to toot your tone, but if you really think about it, you guys were the ones that opened up the bachata scene within the Latin scene. So for you to be like the bachatero of the Latin scene, did a salsa movie, now it's like, look, I could do this, but I could also do that.
Sure. I mean, look, the reality is there are the people in the scene, you know, a lot longer than I have, and I gotta, you know, give credit where credit's due. There's been, you know, salseros, bachateros, a whole nine. I'm definitely blessed to know that an event in my life created a very significant impact in what is now the bachata world, with obviously our video and it going viral. The connection, the union between me and Tanya, because obviously that was a big part. You know what I'm saying? Who knows if it would have been the same if I would have partnered with someone else. It was just the right connection. So, I think that, I'm just happy that we have created the impact that we have, and that we create, trying to change the game and create new ventures and avenues for ourselves and for people coming up, because the reality is we want this scene to grow. And obviously, you know, for instance, like you and, you know, Gracie coming up, new good looking couples, talented, you know, that's what this world needs. That's how we're going to survive.
Yeah.
I'm known for bachata, but I really pride myself a lot in being looked at as a versatile dancer. Like, I don't want to be at a salsa congress and be like, oh, that's just a bachatero, like dancing salsa. Like, I want, and I believe I've gained that respect from a lot of the salsa scene, to where when they see me dance salsa, they're like, wow, he's not just a bachatero.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
He either trains or he's talented or whatever. So I've always made it a part of my regimen to be able to go into a salsa congress and hold my own. You know what I'm saying? And go to bachata congress and hold my own.
Yeah, for sure.
That's really important to me.
So you auditioned for Shine in what year?
That was 2 years ago. So
okay.
It's been a 2 year project.
Got it.
Yeah, it's been a 2 year project. It's a world that I don't know anything about, obviously. And I've had to learn. It was one of those things where it's like, we filmed the movie. It was pretty quick. It's an independent film. The director pulled out this amazing product with very little resources.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's a low budget film, independent film, but it was able to create something that looks and feels so much more expensive. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Which again, it's just a blessing to be a part of that. But as you do that, the filming's done. We're a month and a half in. Then like, I'm like, all right, cool. So it should be done in about a month. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know. And I didn't realize how
the process.
Much. Wow, the process is so intense. So fortunately, we were looking at a summer theatrical release this year.
Oh, cool. So it's releasing this year.
Yeah, so right now it's going to be releasing this year. All the details are going to be posted on social media and stuff like that very shortly, within like this next couple of days to a week. And that's when everything will basically be posted as far as details, when, times, all that stuff. So
would it be a Shine 2, or will you ever consider doing another movie?
It seems as if that's what's being discussed, is that there are, you know, right now, because there's so much going on in the Latin, and just in the Latin community, you know what I'm saying? Everything that's happened in Venezuela and Mexico and Dominican Republic, and obviously just recently with Puerto Rico, which this movie is specifically based around the Puerto Rican culture and the salsa in Spanish Harlem. But the reality is, this movie is just about Latin culture in general. Like,
nice.
It's really
so
just,
honestly, in a way, it worked out perfectly. You know, obviously the events are very unfortunate,
for
but
sure.
It worked out perfectly because now it's going to be, you know, recognized as a, you know, as a Latin culture movie, and it's going to be respected, and it's going to be really watched because of the fact that everything's going on right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's a blessing because, like you mentioned, we don't want to say that we're piggybacking off of some, you know, some horrible events in the world. But to think that this movie could potentially be a beacon of hope, a beacon of motivation, a beacon of union, of support, and that to me is just, it's an that would be an amazing accomplishment.
Yeah,
I truly believe that this movie has the strength to be that.
And you guys even did a, I know you guys did a showing, I unfortunately couldn't go, but I know you guys had a showing in LA and you guys did a fundraiser for Puerto Rico because of the,
yeah,
the premiere.
Yeah, we had an LA screening here, and the purpose of that was obviously to raise funds for all the different, you know, obviously just everything that was going on in Puerto Rico. So we had some different locations, and they would send over to Puerto Rico whatever possible can, any type of resources. That's what our goal was.
Nice.
And it went well. It did really, really well. So yeah, at this point, it's to go back. It seems as if the talk is already that the momentum of this movie and the concept of this movie was so strong that it can now translate into other further issues that need to be discussed as well.
For sure.
So I believe that that's the what's on the table is a potential part two, at a really awesome location, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, I try not to give too many details because,
course,
again, I don't really know what I'm
no,
supposed to say or not, but that's all basic, you know, I think at this point.
So we might beep that whole thing out.
I mean, at this point, there's nothing I've really said that's detrimental because
it's all out there.
It's pretty much out there, and it's at this point, it's what we would perform, what we hope. You know what I'm saying?
100%.
We're hoping for part two.
Yeah.
We're hoping for an amazing theatrical release, but as this, you know, world has shown us, things can change last
very
minute.
Quickly.
It's a very very cutthroat world. You know, respect to all actors out there and directors and moviegoers. It's not easy, but we are hoping to bring you guys an amazing, amazing product.
Well, I'm honestly, I haven't watched the film, but I'm really, really, really excited. Obviously, you know, when I was 18 all the way to 20, I you know, I was training to be an actor. I left that world because I couldn't do the whole, like, you need to be in LA in an hour. I'm like, dude, I'm at Lake Forest serving, you know, like I couldn't do that world. But part of me has always said, okay, in the future, if I become a very successful entrepreneur, I will have the ability to be part of a movie. Maybe somebody sees me. Maybe I know somebody. Maybe I know a director. Maybe I know an actor that knows a director of another movie that might be have a part two with Bachata. I don't know.
Bam.
We'll see. We'll see. But let's actually go into, it's 12 p.m. So we're going to do a Q&A in a little bit on Facebook. But I want to talk about the insights that you give me on new partnerships. Like, honestly, you have helped me so much really understand this game. You know, I've been an entrepreneur for about 3 years, which is fairly new. There's so much I still have to learn in the entrepreneurship scene, but in the Latin scene, that is a whole completely new world, and you really helped me understand, you know, how to word myself, how to, you know, how to talk to promoters, how to offer value, how to do this and do that, and you even give me privates on, you know, not only being a better dancer, but being a better instructor, which is, as you say, very, very, very important when it comes to the Latin scene and being, you know, an all-rounded dancer, because like you said, it's not just about a great show, it's about being a, you know, throwing a great show, being a great instructor, being a likable person, et cetera, et cetera. So let's go into that. So I'm coming up to you, you know, you don't really know who I am. I am starting a new partnership with Gracie Flores, a Bachata partnership. What advice can you give me or, you know, somebody out there that is going to be starting a new Bachata, let's stick to Bachata, a new Bachata couple?
I would say number one, most importantly, and it could be cliche to say it because as any successful and long-running relationship, the key to that is communication. So I feel like the one thing that's benefited myself and Tanya from the beginning was that we had a very extensive conversation from the jump with putting it all out there. What are your goals? What are my goals? What are your expectations? What are your desires? What are your this? What are your that? What do you want to accomplish? Just, I think it's extremely important to be on the same page from the jump to at least have an initial picture
100%.
Moving in. You know, I think also too there has to be expectations. There's a negative tone towards couples that start off that are actually love interests and trying to be dance couples because automatically the stigma is it's not going to work.
Yeah, it's funny because we actually got a lot of like, damn, you guys are partnering up. Like, are you sure it's going to work? Blah, blah, blah. Like,
sure.
You guys are going to kill each other and this and this and that. And my biggest thing was that it was like, I told Grace, I was like, hey, as long as we have communication, we should be good. It's like a relationship. You know
yeah.
what I mean? In our relationship, if we had no communication, it would fail. So it's like with the partnership, it's like, hey, we just have to be, like, we have to have the same why. You know, I feel like that's the reason why partnerships don't work, is because one person wants to be a star and the other person just wants to, you know, travel here and there or have a team. And that's, I feel like that's when it starts to crumble, because to be a star, you have to, you know, travel a lot. You have to do this, you have to do that. And then to have a team, you have to be very local. So it's like, eventually, I feel like where the arguments start happening, and that's when it fails, because it's like you don't have my same why. You can't reason with me.
For sure.
So exactly.
Communication's everything. I mean, the way me and Tanya started was similar. We started as just you know, obviously there was interest. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? I was attracted to her. She was attracted to me.
Oh, so you guys were lovers in the beginning.
No, so when we did Testaño, we were just interested in each other, but we weren't a couple. It was just kind of like, we started talking, we started like trying to get the partnership together, and yeah, like anything, it's, you know, she's good looking, I'm good looking, we see each other, we're, you know, having good conversations. You know, obviously I would go down and to Fort Myers where she was living, we would train for a little bit, and then I would come back to Tampa, and then during that time, it's, you know, rehearse, practice, whatever, and then have dinner, and then, you know, talk, and then I would bounce. And then opposite, she would come to Tampa. And through those conversations, or I guess you could say dating, but like more business meetings in a sense, it was nice conversations.
Yeah.
It was cool. I enjoyed her. I enjoyed her company. So when we did Testaño, I feel like one of the reasons why that routine did so well, because people kind of felt like there was this, like, this fiery connection. Like,
yeah.
Like at this like puppy love phase, whatever, which in a sense it was, because
yeah.
we weren't a couple. We were just like really like, wow,
really
I'm into each other.
Yeah.
So during that time, people were like, ooh, do not get together. It's not going to work, blah, blah, blah. Because the reality is, and this is just an unfortunate, it's an unfortunate percentage or statistic out in our world that there are actually very little couples that you can say have been through the nitty-gritty and are still together.
Yeah.
Very little. You know what I'm saying? You have some amazing couples right now, just off the top of my head, you have, you know, Tito and Tamara.
Yeah.
You know, Victor and Brzezu. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, couples like that, and I've only listed those two because those are the people that I looked up to because of, they started so long ago and they're still together now.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, there are some couples together now that have been together. Me and Tanya have been together for 10 years. But, you know, I seem like, you know, a couple being together for 2 or 3 years is still like, you still got a lot to go. So that was the stereotype that we had to fight initially. People were like, don't do it.
Yeah.
So for about 5 months, we kind of had like an undercover relationship where it was we were kind of a couple, but we just never made it public. And then it was just one day where we were like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Just no one tells me, you know, what I can and can't do. Like, on the contrary, like, I feed off that. When someone tells me that this isn't going to work, I'm like, I'm going to make it work.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a part of that,
yeah.
that positive statistic. And luckily for me, it worked out. You know, with everything, we had our complete ups and downs. But, you know, Tanya's an amazing person. In and out, she's one of the best dancers that I know. I'm privileged and blessed to have her as a partner, both off and off the dance floor. And it's just been, you know, it's been an uphill battle, but it's been a beautiful uphill battle. We've had so many more good than bad.
Yeah.
But like everything, and what I've told you is that, you know, it's more challenging to be partners with someone who is your love interest than it is someone who's not.
Yeah.
Because now you can just keep things business and that's that. Awesome. So that's why I've always kind of said, you know, communication from the jump is key, making sure that you guys are on the same page, and then again, maintaining that communication. Patience is obviously extremely important, and I think that's really just two key components to the success of any type of partnership. Other than that, it's all side stuff, like, you know, evolution of social media and this and that, creativity, tact. You know, motivation, all that other stuff plays a huge role, but that's stuff that evolves over time.
Got it. So let's actually go live right
okay,
now.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Ahí estamos. Wait. Damn, they're going to be far. I get to see the questions. Okay, so let's keep going. CSBF ready. So
real quick, let's give everybody an update. So so everyone, what's up on Jay's page and everybody on George's page? I'm probably going to have to speak in Spanish as well because my people are probably going to get really upset if I don't.
Cool.
So,
good thing I can speak Spanish as
in
well.
English first. So I'm privileged to be here doing a podcast or a little vlog podcast. It's a mix of everything.
Mix of lo que todo.
Key for today's convo is questions regarding, you know, partnership. Actually, you know, I'll let him do and then I'll explain.
So today we are talking about a new partnership. So a new bachata partnership, a new salsa partnership in the scene. Mr. George Burgos is one of my biggest mentors when it comes to my new partnership with Gracie Flores. So I'm going to share him with y'all on pretty much the topics that we discuss when he gives me advice on everything. So let's keep it going. So right now we talked about communication is key.
Yep.
Patience is key. And then we went into a little bit about social media and then stuff like that. So let's go elaborate more on social media. So when you talk about social media, what are you referring to?
Exposure. I mean, I think the reality is when it comes to being any type of new partnership, you want the world to know who you are and what you're doing. So for instance, the way we started was we grabbed the video and we put it up on YouTube. YouTube's free and we had no expectations as to whether or not people were going to see it, but that was the intent. We wanted people to see it. Nowadays, social media is so unique. There's so many avenues and so many different types. You know, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, everything. So I think that the most important thing is putting out content that people want to see. And I think one thing that people are really interested in right now is social dancing, musicality, connection, love, the whole nine. So I think that's extremely important. And just show the world and, you know, push, you know, evolve in your content, grow in your content, and you know, obviously just push that in front of people's faces 100%. Until someone bites like fishing.
And that's the thing. Like, so for me and Grace, the biggest thing that, you know, for us to do is to really be on social media because of the fact that, you know, since we are a new partnership, a lot of people don't know what we can do. And in my head, I'm like, okay, everybody's on social media. Everybody, you know, is on their phone. So people are going to be watching our stuff, watching us, you know, as a partnership, seeing our connections, seeing this, seeing that. And then eventually, you know, people start sharing it, people start liking it. Then promoters start seeing, okay, who are these young couple coming out? They start checking us out. They start seeing what we could do. Eventually, we'll have our performance up on social media. Then they'll be able to see our performances. Then eventually, we're going to have, like, for me, is I want to make sure that we have videos on us dancing social media. Dancing, social dancing, have us teaching, have us performing. So when we do get discovered by a promoter that, you know, doesn't really know who we already have every single content that he needs to know who we are.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
I saw a little question. So, en español. So, la pregunta fue, este podcast, este video, está más un poquito más enfocado en preguntas y sobre parejas, nuevas parejas. Por ejemplo, Jay Gonzalez y su
novia,
Gracie Flores, son una nueva pareja. So, este podcast está enfocado en saber la manera de empezar en este mundo de baile como una nueva pareja, que también se puede ser nueva pareja de solo baile o también pareja de amor. So la primera cosa que yo le expliqué fue comunicación. Comunicación es muy importante, súper serio, entender todo lo que quiere tu pareja en el mundo de baile y básicamente comparar eso con lo tuyo. Y luego lo próximo que estuvimos hablando ahora sobre utilizando las redes sociales. El mundo entero tiene que verte para poder viajar y para poder, tener contracciones y para que te contraten para eventos. El mundo tiene que ver eso. Tiene que utilizar los YouTube, los Facebook, los Instagram, Snapchat, de todo, con material que el mundo quiere ver. ¿Y qué son esos materiales? La gente ama bailes sociales, aman a shows, diferentes shows. Y también muy importante, la gente quiere aprender, son clases. Videos de sus clases.
Saber cómo tú enseñas tu estilo de bachata, de salsa y todo. Personas quieren ver qué puedes traer en el scene, en el platform. Qué puedes qué sabor puedes, you know, and cómo dice, how what and how, pretty much what kind of style can you bring to what is the Latin?
So básicamente, qué tipo de estilo puedes integrar mm-hmm. en este mundo de baile, y luego con esos tres componentes se puede por lo menos iniciar una nueva pareja, un nuevo partnership. So eso es en español. Ahora back to
let's go back to English. So communication, patience, social media. So let's talk about performance aspect. So me and Gracie are debuting our first performance at Van City, so Vancouver, March, the first
Damn.
Weekend of March. So we're going to be out there at Van City. And then our second performance is going to be at CSBF, which we're
Chicago.
Extremely excited for. So with our routine, we decided to do something, obviously something that's us, something that's different. Because for me, it's like I don't want to come out as a new partnership and not more say like a copycat of another partnership, but I want to bring something different, right? Like it's, I kind of take it like the singing world, right?
Sure.
If, you know, I don't want to come out sounding like, you know, fucking Justin Timberlake, or my girl sound like Beyonce, because then people are like, we already have a Justin, we already have a Beyonce. So we need to come out with a different style. So people are like, oh, there's something different about it.
Sure.
So when we created our choreography, we had to think, okay, what is Jay, what is Grace, and what can we create that's different, that's not out right now? And that was the biggest thing, because for me, it's like, if we look like, you know, if we look like Tanya and George, or we look like Mike and Jen, then people would rather just take out Mike and Jen. Why are they gonna bring Jay and Grace if they can pay a little bit more money and take out somebody that's already an A-list artist? So off the bat, I was like, yo, we have to make sure that we're coming out with something different. And also, we have to make sure that we are a couple. So use the fact that, you know, we have really great connection. And you know, when we teach, when we perform, like, we want people to see that connection and see how naturally it flows between us, because of the fact that, you know, we are lovers. So let's pretty much talk a little bit about performance. You already kind of seen my routine without Grace, but you've seen my routine. And
you guys are like, I like it a lot.
Boom, right there. Yeah, digo.
They got some cleaning up to do, but it has a lot of potential.
Cool.
And I think it's definitely a great routine for a new couple to be introduced to the scene, because obviously it's going to show that's just the beginning, you know, and they're going to grow from there. So this is a great starting point, so I can't wait to see it
cool.
on stage.
So let's talk about a little bit about performing. So if you're talking to a new couple, what advice would you give them on the performance aspect?
Okay, so one of the biggest issues that I feel happens with performing is you guys got to respect the craft. You know what I'm saying? Especially if you're a new couple, you know, sometimes you put this time crunch on yourself, and then you're very limited as to how much time you have to rehearse it, to train it, to even create it. And then you're rushing it because you just want to do this thing. So, you know, you have to make sure and be secure that the product that you're throwing on stage is the product that you want people to judge you on. You know what I'm saying? And how do you do that? You know, practice it, train it, dissect it. You know, one of the biggest things for me is I come up with what I call a skeleton, which is pretty much just put the song on, listen to it, and put it down. So basically, I'll explain. So una de las cosas que yo hago cuando hago mi coreografía es para evitar tratar de terminar la coreografía completo y cómo va a ser para el futuro. Trato de ser como que la estructura, pero más básica, algo tranquilo, para después yo poder ver el show en completo y después revisarlo poquito a poco, cambiando y haciendo cambios. So you start with a skeleton, then you go back and you get a vision as to what it looks like from top to bottom. You feel the vibe. You feel now from an audience perspective what you would feel.
Yeah.
Get some opinions. I send it to my business partners all the time. Gets, you know, just to kind of get that external advice or that external opinion, which is very important. So many times people, you know, forget that people's advice and opinions are only to help you. But, you know, pride and ego get involved. And they're like, nah, I don't want anybody to help me out. Or I don't want people to look at it because they're going to judge, blah, blah, blah. You just got to be comfortable in your own skin and know that everything's going to be, it's supposed to be helpful. So I start with a skeleton. And then from there, I go through and dissect. clean ad change, this and that. And that's what makes me then believe and feel like I have a good product. And then rehearse. I just rehearse like crazy. So, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yep. So, on that performing aspect, so we pretty much covered that. Okay, cool. I just want to make sure my podcast is still recording on my laptop. So yeah, so now let's go into, and I agree, by the way, with everything you said. So with my choreography, obviously, like, you know, we've had advice on, you know, don't let too many people put their hands into it. Like, at the end of the day, it's your and Grace's routine. Make sure it feels like you, and you told me that too. So for me, same, like, I always ask advice. I always have people watch our routine and critique it and tell us, you know, what we need and you know, just pretty much take their advice. Like, my biggest thing, even with business, I've always been like that. I love reaching out, asking for help. I do not see that as a bad thing ever. At the end of the day, I don't know everything, and I love to learn. So I have, you know, my mentors. I have, you know, Misaya, one of my directors. I have Ataka. I have Mike. Those are pretty much, like, my core people that I go to. So with this performance, you know, obviously it gets influenced by you guys. But at the end of the day, we have to make sure that it's Jay and Grace's routine, and it's really us, because we don't want to do a routine and the second routine look completely different from the first routine, because we're like, okay, that's not our style. This is, you know, it's we have to make sure that we're coming out authentically. So that's that. So now let's talk about the teaching side. So would you say that as a partnership, that if you are just a good dancer but not a good instructor, can they go far?
No.
Cool. So off, well, I saw the answer. So can you give advice on pretty much the teaching aspect in a new partnership?
Just so you know, I feel like it's no. Really, I feel like it's, I mean, it's true.
Yes, no, 100%.
No one's gonna pay for you just to go and just do a performance. Why? Because the more you get exposed, and the more you get that visualization of excitement, what's the next thing that has to happen? They want to learn from you. They want to learn what you do.
100%.
So if you do a great product and you can't teach it, unfortunately, at that point, it loses its value, which is why teaching is so very important. And granted, when you have a good product, it puts pressure on you to be that much good, that much better of an instructor. But I believe that's the pressure that most of us all want. We want the pressure to be the best of that, the best at everything. So when we have a good product, we want to be just as good as instructors. So the ultimate combo is, one, a great performer, evenly good instructor, evenly good business mindful, savvy person, and four, the most important, just as good as a person. You gotta be
100%.
Just as strong as a normal human being. Because if you are an amazing, talented person, dance-wise, but unfortunately, socially, you are just inadequate. You're either just can't converse, you can't showcase the same thing, you're maybe in a sense socially awkward, it just doesn't balance
it
out.
Doesn't.
But it's pressure that you're putting on yourself by having such a great product, which is the pressure we all want. If I'm amazing at this thing, I want to be amazing at everything else.
Of course. And then Marissa asked, do you believe that there are better teachers than performers? And then Brian asked,
Are you taking questions? Yes, we are.
Yes, we are taking questions. That's what we're doing. This is like Q&A technique.
We'll start. We'll move in a little bit closer and start looking at some questions.
We'll start looking. So let's answer Marissa's question. You answer that. Do you believe there are better teachers than performers?
Oh yeah, 100%. I definitely. I won't name names, but there are people that I've met who are speakers, who have people that have either been teachers in the past, or maybe little kids. Have done seminars, have done speeches when they were younger, that just naturally speak well, with great, they enunciate, they have this strong passion. So those people obviously know how to communicate and can be great teachers, but that doesn't mean that they're great dancers. I've seen plenty of people that speak and teach amazingly, but they themselves even say, I'm just not that great of a dancer. But there is still value to that. You know what I'm saying? Because to me, I see more value in a great instructor and maybe a subpar dancer than a amazing dancer and a par instructor. Because the reality is, we're in a world of learning. We want to learn how to dance. That's what we're in.
I thought the movie was awesome. Your acting skills were impressive. by Edwin Limas.
Edwin, thank you so much, brother. I appreciate
it. Mario, yes, Mario, DJ Maive. We'll see. I'll see you in 2 weeks. We might debut our performance of the Onto, so hope you guys are there. But for me, for instance, I do not consider myself a professional just yet. Obviously, I still have a lot to learn as a performer, as a dancer, and as an instructor. But one thing that I see, and one thing that obviously that's different between my partnership and others, is that I am partnered up with a professional. So when we do teach, obviously I have Gracie there. I listen to her a lot. She, if I teach something that's incorrect, she has all right to come in and correct me. Before we even go into our class, we go over what we're going to be teaching. I make sure that I know how to explain the steps that I want to be teach, or that I want to teach, and et cetera, et cetera. And one thing that I do that helps me so much is I take privates on how to be a better instructor. I think that's one thing that a lot of dancers in my, like, obviously I haven't been in the scene for a long time, but I hardly see dancers, like professional dancers, even amateur dancers, take classes and privates on how to be a better instructor. So you are probably one of my biggest mentors when becoming a better instructor. So what's your take on that? Should people be taking more privates on how to become a better instructor?
Yeah, I mean, and Nelson, I see your question. It's a really great question. So I'm going to answer it right now. Let me just answer this. So I myself, Tanya, and Rudy Lopez, the owners of Island Touch Dance Company, pride ourselves as teaching being one of our number one focuses. We want, because what happens, guys, if something happens and you end up getting hurt or something like that, and you can no longer be a performer or necessarily dancer, that doesn't mean that you can't still educate with your voice. You know what I'm saying? It's such a vital part in this world that, you know, we are, we're using our bodies. If you're not taking care of your body, then, you know, again, you will lose value. But the one thing that does never lose value is this, because this continues growing. So we just got to be able to communicate what we have in here. So teaching is so important. And honestly, it's the one thing that creates the biggest impact. I feel like the biggest impacts or the biggest kind of vibes I've been provided are someone like, oh my God, this class, like, you just blew my head. Like, this was amazing, blah, blah, blah. I've gotten more of that than someone saying, wow, your show just touched my heart, that's happened. But what I really get a lot out of is someone saying, I now can take what you taught me and I'm going to have a really good time tonight dancing because it makes sense. That, there's no other better feeling than that. So that's why it's so very important for someone to really invest in being a good instructor, a good speaker. Educate your mind with what you're doing. If you're a bachata guy, learn the music, musicality, history, all that stuff.
All that.
If you're in the business of cars, you gotta learn how to, you have to learn everything about cars.
Yeah.
If you're in the business in fitness, health, you have to know the ins and outs of all of that. Speaking of which, self-made Costa Mesa. So wait, real quick, I want to go back to Nelson's question because this was pretty awesome. Nelson Cruz from New York. Yeah, by the way, if you guys do a question, like, let us know where you're from so we can, like, shout out. Okay, I believe there are three types of dancers. Those who can social dance but can't perform. Those who can perform but social dance. I'm assuming those who can perform but social dance maybe a little bit lower, lower par. And then there's combo of both. What do you think?
100%.
There are... That is what this world's made of. You know what I'm saying? You have great performers, but then when they social dance, you're like, I wouldn't expect that. I was expecting that to be, I'm just saying it's a shock because sometimes, and that's something that we are missing in this world too, is unfortunately, and that's what we're trying to go back to the roots, even with our company, is we're really trying to showcase and just continue showing light to what is social dancing and growth in dance. I get it. Everyone wants to be on stage. Everyone wants to perform. Why? Because it's so amazing. The feeling to be up there is so amazing.
And what's crazy is that even like vice versa, there's so many people that just strictly just want to social dance.
Yeah.
Like a lot of times, it's funny because we actually started a company called Social Dance Academy, and we had our first class yesterday, and then, you know, people came in and I was explaining the basics of bachata, right? And I saw that a lot of them couldn't even they were having a difficult time, you know, doing a random basic. And I'm in my head, I'm like, that's crazy, because that means this person, if they go to a club or whatever, and they try to do a beginner's class, they're not going to be able to, because from what I see, a lot of instructors just do a footwork, ba 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 ba, and then a partner work, but they don't really go into like the details. Like when we had our private, we really went into detail on, you know, the bolero count, the, you know, really how to go from, you know, your toe, your heel, and your hip movements, your, like, the way you really went into depth with just the basic, like literally just the basic of bachata, I hardly see instructors teach that.
So, all right, so instructors out there, I got your back. I understand. With someone like Jay, who I gave a private to, and I was able to literally, we did a private for about an hour and a half on literally just basics. We talked about, and I'm saying, it's not even just basics, the basic.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, tap. 1, 2, 3, 4, tap this way. That's it. Maybe some arms, trying to figure out body movement, whatever. It's easy to be able to focus on basics with someone that you know is listening and taking it in 100%. With like a strong desire to learn. But I get it. You want to teach the basics and you want to deal with details like that, but you have to accommodate to the crowd. So for instance, you go to a nightclub and you're like at a nightclub and you're like, yo, I want to teach the basics. That's probably not the place to do that. Why? Because they're thinking fun. They're thinking about enjoy.
No,
100%. But that doesn't mean that you can't find the right formula. And that's what, as us as instructors, that's what we're challenged to do. Be able to provide them the basics, techniques, in a fun, cool atmosphere.
100%.
Throw some jokes in while you're doing some basic arms.
Yeah.
So now they're like, I'm having fun while I'm doing something simple.
Yeah.
It's all about balance. Now, if you go into a nightclub and you're like, everyone shut up, we're doing the basics right now, and it's like a boring class, then again, you're not really, you're not grabbing them.
Cool.
You go to Congress.
And then you think that you have to do a crazy shine to grab their attention.
For sure.
You know, and that's why we, you know, do our semi-privates, because in our semi-privates, we have less people than in the class. And it's an hour and 30 minutes long, so we can actually really, really go into, you know, the basics, go into the different types of music, whether it's modern, whether it's traditional, et cetera, et cetera. So for me, I feel like if the fact that we do these semi-privates, it's a lot easier for us to really go into depth of what bachata is, you know?
Sure.
We actually have a question from Marissa. She said, do you think more professionals should be more transparent about training and taking from other pros? Now it's funny that I can relate that to like fitness in general. So when I was a personal trainer, I trained with the people who I really respected within the fitness industry. And I was very verbal about it because I was learning and I wanted to show people like, hey, I have not stopped learning yet. I'm still, you know, taking, privates with these fitness enthusiasts and these instructors. So I'm learning more and more and more, and people respect that. And my knowledge grows. That means, you know, obviously my clientele sees that my knowledge grows and they respect that. So for me as a dancer, I will forever, you know, preach that I learned from you, that I learned from, you know, MG, that I learned from Mike, because for me, I want to show people that I'm never, ever going to stop being a student.
Sure.
I want to continue to learn. Whether, you know, in 3 years I become, you know, a professional dancer, just becoming a professional dancer does not mean I'm not going to stop growing as a dancer. Like, it's like martial arts. You can never truly be a master. I feel like there's always certain things you could learn, you know?
If you ever get into a point where you believe you've learned everything you possibly can, you got a problem. You got a really serious problem, because the reality is, you will literally live your entire life not knowing everything. You know what I'm saying? And you can literally learn from anyone. Honestly, I could say probably one of the things that I wish I was exposed a little bit more to was watching people. You know what I'm saying? I get it. I understand. I go to these events and, you know, I have to dance with the people. And if I may be standing and watching another couple dance, I then look like, are either I'm bored, so I need to be dancing. And the reality is, some things that I really miss is just being able to sit for like 3 songs and literally watch all different types of couples dancing. Because
beginners, intermediate, advanced, I learn something all the time. I learn how two beginners or dancers are getting through a song. What are they doing? How is he putting combinations together?
Yeah.
Is he looking at her? Is he not looking at her? Because I'm learning. As an instructor, I'm learning. And I'm also learning as a dancer. So that's the one thing that I feel like I don't get to do as often. I try to take advantage whenever I possibly can. Is watch. I watch. I observe what's new. What are people, you know, what are they into? What are the new fads? And that's how we grow. We have to evolve as one human beings. We have to evolve as instructors. And we have to evolve as dancers. You know what I'm 100%. Saying? And that will happen till the day that we hang up our dance shoes.
100%. I agree. Do you have any more questions?
Yeah.
Ataka, since you have been all around the world, do you feel that the environment, social, are different from our social? So pretty much, are the socials in Europe different from the socials here in LA?
Yeah, it's different cultures, you know, different flavors for different tastes, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying it's good or bad. People love going to Europe and to the social scenes, congresses or whatever, and they walk away and they're like, oh my God, this is amazing. And then you have other people that go over there and just like, I hated it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it really, there's no right or wrong. All I can say is go and check it out. You will be pleasantly surprised. For the most part, you'll be pleasantly surprised because the dance scene here in the States, South America, Europe, you know, Middle East, they're amazing. You know what I'm saying? You'll find something that's going to intrigue you. I think more than anything, you're just going to be so impressed that this Latin culture is literally dance, and not just dance. It's loved with absolute passion all over the world. It's crazy.
Now, okay, so pretty much we went over communication, patience, social media, right? And then being, you know, business savvy within the scene. We talked about performances. We talked about, obviously, being an instructor, growing as an instructor. And then let's talk about a little bit on pretty much so for me, I feel like there's a lot of discussions within the Latin scene on people not, you know, getting hired, you know, people complaining, people this, people that. So what's your take on, if I'm a new couple, should I be verbal of, like, how can I say this? So,
stop complaining, go to work.
Okay,
I mean, that's where it comes down to, y'all. This is a world where you have to show initiative. You have to be proactive. Get out there. You know what I'm saying? Like, all right, you can easily say, oh, but Jordan Tanya, you guys posted a video and you guys got lucky because at that point the video went viral. I'm 100%, yes, I hit the lottery. But honestly, I could have been a one-hit wonder if I would have been stuck with that one and I would have been done. But what I did is I took an opportunity that was presented to me and I capitalized on it.
You kept going.
And what I did was I had to then set the bar. I set the bar high for myself without me wanting to, or I didn't expect, I'm sorry, not want to, I didn't expect to.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do, I went to work. I tried to perfect a style, a craft, a product.
Mm-hmm.
I really focused on trying to be a good instructor. So I forced myself, I pressured myself to maintain that stability at the 100%. Highest possible
it's
level.
It's like back to music, if you think about music. How many one-hit wonders have there been? Like fucking hundreds. And how many have just been one-hit wonders and then their next song comes out, trash, and nobody knows about them again. So it's kind of like, and for me, it's like when I came into the Latin scene, I saw exactly how I came into the fitness industry or in entrepreneurship in general. It's like, we got to work. Like, at the end of the day, I feel like a lot of people are like, you know, we're not getting taken to festivals or we're not doing this or we're not getting exposed, but it's like, that's your fault.
Yeah.
You know, you're not putting in the work. You're not exposing your talents on social media. Like, yo, if social media is your gateway, well, why the fuck should go on Google and search, how do I use Instagram ads? Like, it's all there. And my thing is, like, a lot of people complain, but it's like, yo, it's like, but you're not doing anything about it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that kind of, like, gets me, like, I stay quiet because I don't have much of a say in the Latin scene. But when it comes to business in general, like, for me, in my business, I've learned that you need to work.
For sure.
No one's going to listen to you complaining. No one gives a fuck about you complaining. Like,
that's true.
You know?
I mean, yeah. Look, when it comes down to this, guys, I mean, this, and this is, goes out. This is obviously why we're doing this podcast and this vlog and everything. Question at hand is, if I'm a new artist, what do you advise me to do? All right. Figure out your product. Solidify your product. What is it? then that is now what you're going to push towards the world. You can't assume that the world's going to see it. So you have to push it. Figure out what are your streams of showing the world. Social media, word of mouth, press kits, all that other stuff. Easy to do. And then obviously when it comes to the events. Oh, but no one's booking me because they don't know you because you're new. It's like anything. If you're new, no one's going to know you. That's not to say that you're not good. They just don't know you and they maybe want to know you. So what do? Hit them up. Be proactive. Show initiative. Instead of getting upset at events for not hitting you up without understanding that maybe they just don't know you. Maybe they don't know how to get in contact with you. So literally hit up events that you preferably want to go to. Discuss with promoters options. For guys, we, myself and Tanya, paid to go to events for at least a year and a half. We paid to go to Europe, paying our own flights. Okay, I'll get your hotel room and your pass, but you have to pay to get here. Done. It's an investment you make on yourself. So don't get mad that that's what people are asking you to do. Invest in yourself instead of, because a lot of people are doing that. They're getting upset. They're like, oh, but you're not going to pay my flight to get over here. You're like, there has to be a reason why I need to do that. What are you bringing to the table?
Because at the end of the day, it's a business. It's like
it really is, guys. It's not personal. Nah. Some of you artists really need to understand, especially dealing with, you know, first off, if you're an artist who's a promoter, balance that shit out. Learn how to be an artist over here and a promoter over here. And if you're an artist dealing with an artist that was an artist promoter, try and take that in consideration that when you're dealing with us business, talk to us like business. You know, and if you're talking to us personal, I hope we have a good relationship and we could be friends. But the reality is, guys, you have to sell yourself. Be confident in your product. Talk to business people that know how to sell a product and do that for yourself.
Yeah.
Be hungry. Invest in yourself. There's no one better to invest in yourself than you.
100%.
Because you believe in yourself more than anybody else.
Train different styles. Like, I feel like that's actually one thing that helped me a lot is, you know, being part of, you know, a company like MG, we train in all different kinds of styles. So we really, that has helped me, you know, elevate my game a lot and really open my mind to when we choreograph and when we dance, we have such a broad understanding of what dance is in general because we take so many different styles. But all in all, I feel like one of the biggest things as a new partnership, and me and Gracie always talk about this, is just being good human beings. You know, always staying humble. You know, when we see people, like even for me, like, yo, when I go to congresses, I probably go through like 5-6 shirts because I do not say no. I ask everybody to dance. I always stay positive. Like, I never get too hammered to where, you know, I'm in the dance floor and I can't even do a basic. You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, you are a personal brand, and that's how I see it. Just how it is with my company, Self-Made. Like, everything that I do reflects on me as a personal brand. So I really, really have to, like, every move that I make, I have to be very cautious and be like, okay, is this gonna harm my brand or is this gonna benefit my brand? And for me, it's like, personable and just being a good human being is going to take you so far, because like you said, you could be the best performer, the best, you know, social dancer, you know, the best instructor, but if you're a shitty human being, if you treat people bad, if your attitude is out of whack, if you talk to promoters with attitude, you are going to fail in the long term.
Sure. And I mean, I get it, guys. You're tired. Trust me, it's not easy to be I can't be on all the time, but I sure as hell, I can tell you right now, with everything inside of me, I try to be. I try my best to be on all the time. I try, you know, smile, try to be here, personal, whatever. That is my number one goal, is to be on as much as possible, because, you know, it is what it is. People, this is a world where people get so connected and so intrigued by your style, and especially bachata, that people are so in love with, like, that whole connection thing, that when they fall in love with you, like, there's a passion created that you have to be sensitive to that. So,
100%.
You know, just shout out to everyone, all of our supporters and all of the dads out there, like, you know, you guys make this world what it is. It's an amazing, amazing world. I'm proud to be a part of this world. Salsa, bachata, dance in general. It's a beautiful world. I wouldn't want to be a part of any other world other than the baseball world. That's my first love. But this, that. So just, you know, shout out. Just
shout
that.
Out. Shout
what
out. So let's answer some questions. And then we'll wrap it up. So right here, we already have one. Damn. Brian said, attention! Laugh out loud. Do you believe that these social media 1-minute videos are more important than the real performances now? They get more views. Are people's attention spans too short now?
Yes. Yes. Unfortunately, that's just a social media. That's just a social media conversation that people are having right now. It's strategies. It's dealing with, and even right now, Byron, like, or Brian, like, now the 1 minutes are becoming now too long. Now it's like people are saying that that's, people are losing interest with 1 minute. So Instagram gives you 1 minute. We took advantage of that. Now we're capitalizing on it, but now people are like, nah, I don't need that. Now let's go back to that 15
seconds. And I feel like that's the thing, though. It's like our responsibility as a personal brand, as dancers, as entrepreneurs, as whatever, our responsibility is to see where the attention's at and disturb it. Like, that's why for me, I look, like, if you guys look at my on my Instagram page, every single video has a Vaughn. So I have a title that titles every single one of my videos. And why did I do that? Because when I look through the Explorer page and the popular page, I've noticed that every video that went viral had titles on the video. So I started doing that, and shit, my video started going up, because then people now are clicking on my video and they know exactly what they're gonna see. So I see where the attention's at and I disrupt it. If you know that social dance videos are becoming a thing, well, get your ass in front of a camera at a social with good lighting and do a social dance video. It's like, it's just practical. It's like, instead of being like, damn, why are social dance videos becoming a thing now? That's fucked up. I want people to see my performances, but it's like, nah, like, it is what it is. That's the consumer. They have the right to do whatever they want, right? They're the ones, you know, buying the passes. They're the ones buying your ticket to go to your social. If they want social dance video, it's our responsibility to give them what they want. That's just how it is.
And don't limit yourself. So, Brian, also, too, don't limit yourself, right? So that's one demographic of people that want social dance. There are people that want to see shows.
That's why they go to festivals.
So provide, you know what I mean? Those videos. You
and
know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And so now you provide those 2.5-minute videos, standard camera right there, showing your normal video. There's a demographic for that.
100%.
And then do another video where it's like a concert video, where you're out on the beach doing a video, social dancing. And it's not even just for the scenery. It's social dancing is so popular. Like, so many people feel like it's missing. Like, people are like are losing focus on social dance. So give that to them. Let people see that component of
artistry.
Artistry in the moment, lead, follow, you 100%. Know what I'm saying? Musicality. So provide that, and then as far as those videos, you know, you have to test the waters, because social media and internet in general changes all the time. So it may be right now where it's 15-second videos are the popular one, but you may notice that
in two years... It's going to be a 3-minute video. Like,
it might go up.
That's the thing, is that you have to consistently see, and I'm speaking as, you know, somebody that's just in business, because I do this. Honestly, the advice I'm giving you guys in the sense of, you know, social media, I give advice to my trainers who I help, you know, become successful within the fitness industry. And I tell them all the time, when you're on social media, you're on it as a business. See what's popping, see what's popular, and disrupt it, you know? And if you want to showcase, like, your performances, showcase your performances. You know what I mean? Like, make it a 1 minute. Only show a highlight of it and say, if you want to see a full video, go on my YouTube channel and see my full performance. Like, there is ways of doing, you know, everything and giving what they want and also doing what you want, right? Like, there's a balance. You just got to find it.
Sure.
Hey, guys. Saludos. Much love from Canada, from Harold and Reagan. Hey,
what's up? Harold Reagan, what's up?
I'm going to be in Canada first time ever in Van City. Vancouver for the Van City.
He gonna be cold.
I'll be cold. I'm from Cali, so I'm gonna take my Mexican blanket with me. I'm gonna make it a poncho.
And he's still gonna be cold.
And I'm still gonna be cold. People know I'm from Cali. All right, this Edwin Limas. This is Edwin from the Inland Empire. Yo, shout out to the IE. I'm from the IE. I grew up in Corona for 18 years of my life.
Yeah, IE.
So this is Edwin from the Inland Empire. Please share with us your thoughts on keeping social dancing safe for women against the predators, creepers that take advantage of the sensuality behind bachata.
Look, it's the same one.
Oh, he got
it. He said to me too, Edwin.
Would really like your suggestions, opinions on this. Right, thank you.
Say that again. All right, so,
this is Edwin from the Inland Empire. Please share with us your thoughts on keeping social dancing safe for women against the predators, creepers that take advantage of the sensuality behind bachata. I would really like your suggestion, opinion on this.
Yes, it's a huge topic of discussion right now. there are styles that are being fusioned into you know, predominantly, let's just talk about bachata. That's happening everywhere, but obviously we're here kind of specifically
talking about our world.
It all has to do with two things. One, instructors. It has to start from the source. You know what I'm saying? We have to fix the source, and then what's coming out? What's the output of that source? So we have to fix that. If you feel like there are issues, it needs to be spoken to the people that are teaching. You know what I'm saying? Instructors. But honestly, the next big thing at that point is guys will be guys. And guys may hear something like to not do this, but they'll still do it. Ladies, this is for all my beautiful ladies 100%. Out there. I love you guys. Te amo. Todas las mujeres allá afuera. Te amo, te amo, te amo, te amo. I'm going to say this in Spanish and English. You have to speak up.
And you have to defend yourself. Like,
if you don't like something, say it. It's not offensive. If the guy's touching your stomach, like, oh, sorry, can you not touch my stomach? No disrespect.
It's
we can keep
just
dancing.
It's one, it's it, real quick, it fixes. Like,
and, okay, it's tact. You know, don't be rude. You know, don't be like, stop. You know, excuse me, you know, please, if you could just not touch me there. You know what I'm saying? I don't feel comfortable, blah, blah. We have to be verbal. And I think one of the biggest issues right now is women are not speaking up. And if you don't speak up, the guys are going to keep doing it because they assume that it's
okay.
It's not. It's not okay for a guy to form a gun and hit your head like that as if he's shooting you in the head.
And
that's
he
not
do
right.
A body roll.
I'm sorry. That's where there's too much. There's too much. There's too much crime and too many bad things happening in the world for us to think that simulating a gun to someone's head is okay in dance. Don't tap me on the forehead. That does not mean I need to do a body roll. Don't touch me. If you were to go up to a normal person, your mom's friend, and you touch them in the forehead, you think that'd be polite? You think that's proper manners?
100%.
So that's the same in dance. You know what I'm saying? Don't touch me in my head. Don't touch me in my boobs.
Don't
touch
close.
Me in my stomach.
When I see guys get this close to, like, that's the thing, and I tell Gracie this all the time. She does very well on, you know, pushing off a guy and he's way too close to her face. And also, she lets him know, like, when she has somebody that's trying to dip her or trying to do something very, very low or whatever, she's very quick to say, yo, don't dip me like that. Especially because not only are they trying to do too much sensual shit, but they could hurt her. And she's a professional dancer. So if Gracie gets injured because of a sensual move that they think they could do because they learned it on YouTube, she's going to get hurt and that's going to mess up her professional career.
And I want to be very clear here. This is not any attack towards sensual dancers at all. Because I respect the craft. I respect it. All I'm asking you guys, for anybody out there that does a lot of sensual moves, because we all dance sensual, you know, not everyone. But if you're doing sensual moves, just take a second to think, you know, how many times have I dipped this girl? You know what I'm saying? And am I hurting her? You know what I'm saying? Is she capable? You don't know if maybe this girl was in an accident last weekend and she has a back problem. Like, don't be that guy that hurts the girl worse.
There's
just
a reason why they warm up before
and
performance.
A lot of girls like these moves, and you could do that. But just be tactful. Maybe start slow. It's like a date. It's like a date, guys.
Yeah.
When you're with a girl, you don't take her. You don't try and take her to the bed. I mean, a lot of you guys do, and that's why you guys are single. But you don't take her to the bed from the jump.
100%.
Nah. You take her to dinner first.
It's
nice
funny
and slow.
Because one of my director Saya, she always says, like, when we first start dancing, if you even just hear the music, in the beginning the music is soft. It's like it's just asking for just a basic, like just and right there you get to really see if your partner, you know, you do a little combination here and there, you get to see if once she could even churn, if she could follow you. Like you really like you're taking her on the first date, which is the first half of the song. You're testing her out, seeing if she could do this, seeing if she could follow that. And then if she's comfortable with doing the moves that you're trying to do with her, then yeah, you could kick it up a notch. Obviously, then the song starts getting a little bit more, then a little bit more, and the song drops, and now you could really start to play. But in the beginning of the song, you have to test out your partner, because when I dance with Gracie, I love dancing with Gracie, because I know her as a dancer. I know what she can do. I know that if I turn her 3 times, she's good, she enjoys it. But when I dance with somebody else, I eliminate that from the equation, and I start all over. Okay, can this girl do this? Can this girl follow this churn? Can she follow this combination? Does she like getting dipped? Does she not like getting dipped? At the end of the day, our responsibility as a lead is to make sure that our partner is not only safe but has a good time. If she has a good time just doing a basic, then just do a basic. Like, that's your, I believe that's your responsibility as a lead, is to make sure that your partner just has a good
for sure time. Yeah, look, gentlemen, girls know how to communicate without saying anything. If she's smiling, she's good. If she's not smiling, that last move probably wasn't the good one. So just throw that one away and find all the moves that make her smile from ear to ear.
100%.
And that's what you like. This girl, that's all I want to do.
Yeah, and that's that's the thing. Like, for me, that's one thing I love. Like, I love seeing a smile. Like, I love knowing that girl had a good dance with me. I love her, like, seeing that, you know, she's going to ask me to dance because she's like, oh, Jay, like, I love how, like, that should be like your number one goal as a social dancer. You know what I mean?
So real quick, so I got there's a message here. I really want to get to this one.
Vamos.
Loyal Martinez, what's up, Loyal? Good to see
you. I know you.
Yo, what's
up?
Vamos. All right, Loyal. You're my dude. You know what I'm saying? And the reason why I say this is because I know that you're saying this message, question with very, very good intent. But there's a tact here that we have to be very careful for. The question is this. Love it, but look, these dudes are rude and don't care. I say these ladies need to, quotes, red flag them. Create a group where there's a guys are red flagged. All right, number one, you can't do that, bro. Can't call people out like that, especially when those students are being taught from instructors, original sources. So you can't red flag the students that are doing what they're being told to do and that it's okay. Now, granted, you're probably thinking, well, then red flag the instructors. You can't do that either. We can't just sit here and call people out and say, yo, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. We can't do that because what that does is it creates division and it creates controversy. And there's way too much of that already in this world for us to now enhance that. Mm-hmm. I get what you're saying, and you're right. These guys should be spoken to and these guys should be maybe called out. But that's why the girls just need to speak up. Papi, I didn't like that. No me toque ahí. No, eso no está bien. No, eso no me gusta.
Mm-hmm.
And then pull them aside like, Papa, I'm sorry. Maybe I offended you during the dance, but you know, I was caught off guard. And honestly, like, you touching me offended me, Papa. Like, that was me. Maybe there's other girls that like that, but not me. And that's that. Now that guy has to go to sleep like, man, like, what did I just do?
Yeah.
But that's all he needs.
Oh,
now, we
yeah.
call them out on Facebook and on Instagram.
Like,
oof,
yeah.
That's a battle because now it's going to create a whole nother. But, I respect what you're saying, and the guys do need to be called out. Not publicly like that, but it goes back. Girls, speak up. Guys don't realize what they're doing wrong. That's what I'm saying. Yes, the guys don't realize what they're doing wrong, but that's where the girl
speaking up
says, hey, that hurt me. You're not doing it okay. And then let that guy go back to me and the instructor and be like, yo, I just hurt some girl, like, with the move that you taught me. What's going on? And let the instructor then have to, like, rethink, like, oh, damn, what am I teaching my students?
Yeah.
It's all about communication, guys. We gotta stay as positive as possible in this world. There's way too much controversy and division. We gotta keep things as positive as we can. And talking to someone saying that you don't like something is not creating division. It's just being open.
Just being open, 100%. Communication is everything. And just keep the love. Keep the love. A ver, tenemos algo? Ataca, since you... No, we already talked about it. You have any questions on your side?
Who, mine?
Si.
We
have a question from Ricky Flores. What's up, Ricky? How's it going?
What's up, Rick?
After making Te Extraño, one of my favorite routines, did you have any problems making the rest of your routines because they are just at badass because you raise your bar so high? How are you able to... see more. But as you raise your bar so high, how were you able to keep your routines at that level?
You know what? I will say that at every point when I'm coming up with my choreographies, there's one thing that I always have to keep in my mind. Te Extraño. And every choreo that I do, Te Extraño is always in my brain. What was it from that first video? I gotta take something from Te Extraño and put it in every single one of my routines because that's what people remember us for.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I think about simplicity, creativity, connection, all that other stuff. But I take a little bit of Te Extraño and I sprinkle it into all of my routines. By doing that, I build confidence. I build confidence in myself that, you know, if I do that, people are going to enjoy this. But then my creative juices come in and like, but I can't copy. I got to do something different, something unique, something that, but staying in my lane. Sometimes we got to remember that we could veer off a little bit and maybe someone, you know, maybe take a detour, but you always got to, you got to always come back to your lane because that's what you do best.
That's your brand.
Stay away from trying to do other people's stuff because that's what other people do well. You got to do what you do well. But don't get me wrong, you can totally try other things and dabble.
So it's kind of like what you know, with me and Grace. So me and Grace are a bachata couple. We dance modern bachata. We have, you know, some fusion that you guys will eventually see that we do. But obviously, I have a love. It's funny because before, I didn't really have a love for salsa. I'm going to be honest. I love the music, but the dance, it just... Well, I wasn't feeling it until I joined MG. They taught me what they've taught me, and I have fallen in love with salsa. So, me, I one day want to be able to perform Romantica with my partner, Gracie Flores. So, what George advised me to do, he said, stick to bachata because that's your brand. That's, you know, that's your passion, right? Yeah, that's my passion. That's what I love bachata. Stick with that. And yeah, you know, in 2 years, once you've already established that, you could venture off, do one routine, but always make sure that your main brand, which is your bachata, does not get harmed by you doing other projects. So that's the advice.
We did that. We started with salsa. We started with salsa first, but then we transitioned to bachata. We knew that we were gonna have to now basically put bachata salsa to the side because we had to solidify an image or a status in the bachata world. So once we felt that we were at an okay, respectable level, we then did some salsa on the side. But we have to understand as artists that promoters aren't gonna hire me for salsa at that moment because that's not what I'm known for. Mm-hmm. So what I did to invest in myself is I would have them book me for bachata and I would do a free salsa show.
That's smart.
Because
you just wanted to do it.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't do it for free, they're not going to pay for it. And the reality is that's not, it doesn't seem like you're really doing it for the money per se right now. You're doing it for the exposure to show that you're versatile. So that's an approach, you know, that you guys could do. Most events will be welcoming to additional shows. If they decline it, it's not personal. It's probably because they have a full lineup and they have to be very strong.
And there's another, if you're already well known in the bachata, if you're already well known with your personal brand, that means you have multiple festivals. There's no way every single festival that you're booked for is going to say no to you doing an additional routine for them for free. One thing I want to go into, I don't know if you have questions, but one thing I want to go into is pretty much another aspect of new couples coming in and even older couples is... image, in the sense of physical image.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, so I met George because I'm still one of his, still his personal trainer.
I'm trying.
I help him, you know, no matter what, he's like a brother, he's like a big brother to me now. And I help him till this day with his nutrition, with his fitness, etc. Because he understands that he has to be healthy in order to do all this traveling, to be able to still perform the way he performs and still be able to do, you know, what he does best. So, and, you know, when I first started the scene, the reason why I was able to, you know, learn bachata so quickly was because Mike Zuniga was my client as well. He actually really introduced me to the scene. He took me to the Reno Fest. That was my first festival. After that, I was like, oh my God, this scene is crazy. Like for me, I remember he was actually the first bachata artist I ever seen. And part of me was like, where the hell does this guy dance at where he makes a big ass circle and everybody watches him? Is he at a club? Is he like, I didn't know about the scene. So Mike actually introduced me to the scene and we traded private. So I gave him four privates a week. He gave me four privates a week. And that's how I was able to elevate my dance very quickly. I honestly probably took 100 privates my first year of dancing. Like I took so many privates with MG as well, with Liliana, with David, etc. The reason why Mike came with me was because he understood how important image was. And even Jen, I trained Jen Silva for a quick minute. And, she got physically fit, you know, especially because her costumes, you know, she shows her tummy. So she has to look nice, you know, there, you know, back there. Like, you know what I mean? So image is, for me, I believe that physical image is very important because when you're on stage, people are looking at you, you know, and you're wearing these costumes, for me, it's like I want them to focus on the dance. I don't want them to necessarily focus on my body. So it's like, I don't want them to be like, oh, that costume doesn't look good on you because it doesn't form your body right, or blah, blah, blah. Like, I want them to focus on
this. So, all right, so let me interject. He's right, 100%, 100%. But now there's probably some people out there like, oh, so you mean to tell me I gotta be skinny and I gotta
No.
I want you guys to understand this. There's an image. I do this, one, because I know that long term, I want to be able to last doing this for a long 100%. Time. So I gotta take care of myself.
Health. Like, this is honest. A lot of it is just being healthy, like internally
it
healthy.
It really is. Honestly, I could be bigger, and all I ever ask of anyone, you know, from that feels like, oh, I'm a little bit bigger or whatever, just wear your skin proudly. Wear your shit proud on stage, and we don't care how big you are or what you're wearing, because I'm going to be with it. And 100%. I'm going to be, like, sold. 100%. But a lot of times, a lot of us aren't wearing our skin with that much confidence, and that's why sometimes we have to revert to options like working out, fitness, this and that. So, again, you don't want to do fitness, you don't want to do health, wear your shit proud and let me feel that shit on stage. But for all the other people, it's really important for myself, especially Tanya as well. We don't get to really get exposed to good foods that often because we're on the road like that. So having Jay help me understand what foods work and at what times and calories and
100%. And like I said, it has nothing to, and honest, and I'm not saying it has nothing to do with image, because this is how exactly
it does. This world is about image.
It is. So I'm not gonna say it has nothing to do with image, because that will be me lying. But a lot of it has to do with the health aspect. If you, these at festivals, let's be real, at night when we're social dancing, we're not hydrating with water. Let's be real, right? We're drinking, we're doing this. I'm not saying drinking is bad. I drink. I'm a personal trainer. I'm a huge fitness enthusiast.
I drink.
So it's just drinking smart, making sure that you are hydrated, making sure that you are active, making sure that, you know, you're at the end of the day, you're healthy. Because if you're not healthy, fuck, what happens in 5 years, you have a health problem, and then you can't dance anymore, you can't teach anymore, because you're unhealthy. Like,
guys,
suck.
I was stuck. I was in bed for like 3 days with a back problem. I'm 33, so I'm obviously not old and I'm not young. But the reality is, I don't stretch as much as I would like to or I need to. And I told myself this year, I'm going to stretch more, because that was probably the worst feeling. For 3 or 4 days, not being able to wake up on your own, like get off your bed. And it's just as simple as I just don't stretch. So guys, you just got to really, one, you guys got to understand that as we get older, we are no longer Superman and Superwoman. It's just, it's not happening. So take care of yourself. Eat right. Get with a good personal trainer that cares about your needs and your desires for your long-term goals, and just, you know, enjoy it. Trust me, guys. It's motivating.
And you feel better. Like, look, I'm not a personal trainer anymore. I have, you know, people that I care about that I train here and there. But you know, now I run my own private training facility with about 35 or more trainers. And
bomb.
Yes, self-made Costa Mesa. That's my gym. But that's the biggest thing, is it's when I've trained Tanya, when I trained Jen, I trained Mike, just hearing, hey, I feel so much better physically. I'm able to move quicker. Mike tells me he's able to lift up Jen quicker. I'm not saying Jen's heavy, but he's stronger. He moves better. So that's the biggest thing. You know, and I just feel like your health is so, so important. Take care of yourself. My mom, when I was young, she said, mijo, what's more important, health, money, or family? And I told her, I said, love, you know? And she's like, no, mijo, health, because at the end of the day, you can't love, you can't do anything without health.
Man, preach,
and, you know, so health is very important, guys. So like I said, it's not about having a flat stomach. It's not about having a six pack, a chest, Nah, it's about being internally happy and being internally healthy. Happy and healthy and balanced. That's it.
Damn, your body is your temple. Take care of it.
Okay, so let's see if we have any questions. what up, Devin George? How's it going, brother?
Mi gente, veo unos comentarios pidiendo españoles, que es un poquito difícil porque el blog es un poquito más en inglés. Pero básicamente estamos hablando de consejos sobre nuevas parejas, cómo hablar con diferentes como promotores si estás intentando de meterte en este mundo de baile, como artista, explicando qué importante es ser buen maestro, y no solo buen maestro, pero maestro con pasión, maestro que quiere enseñar buena calidad y quiere aprender. Y también como bailarines tenemos que seguir siendo estudiantes para la vida entera. Somos estudiantes, tenemos que seguir aprendiendo, aprendiendo. Y luego, en último, nuestro cuerpo, nuestra vida, tenemos que cuidarnos con buena salud, buena comida, si gimnasio, lo que sea. Lo que es tu definición de cuidar tu cuerpo. Si es no ir al gimnasio pero comer bien, perfecto. Si es no comer bien, ir al gimnasio y balancearlo, perfecto. Si es tomar mucho alcohol y después seguirlo con agua, perfecto. Pero cuidar tu cuerpo.
Balance. And I want to end this podcast. And this vlog and this live.
We're doing everything.
We're doing everything here. I want to end it with, and this, like I said, it also goes into dance, but it goes into entrepreneurship, business, and the whole nine. Passion and love, that is the number one thing. That is like your foundation. That is your basic bachata. That's your basic side. Like, that's your foundation. Without love or passion, if you're doing this because you want to get, you want to get famous, or you want to make a lot of money, but you're not doing it because you have love for it, you have passion for it, you're not going to succeed. Because I'm sure you can vouch for this, and even in my entrepreneurship life, there has been a lot of times where it's been fucking super low, hard, you know, it's like, I don't know what I'm going to do, you know, bad time. But the one thing that's going to overcome all that is your passion and your love. So it's not easy being, you know, becoming a star like Ataka. So you have to have passion. That passion, that love is what's going to keep you going. Even if you have, you know, you don't get booked, or you don't get this, or your first show wasn't as good, or whatever the case may be, you continuing forward, your passion is going to be what's going to fuel all that.
So I'll kind of recap in English and in Spanish as well. I think in general what we're trying to accomplish for today's vlog and this video is to, one, understand that everything is possible. Everything is possible with hard work and dedication.
And
obviously, if you're passionate about it, that those two components, hard work and dedication, are going to be very easy to do. You know, mm-hmm. when you're passionate, that is cakewalk. So you just gotta be passionate. You gotta love what you do, and respect the craft. Respect what you love. Respect what you're so passionate about.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, if you're so passionate about something, respect it and learn it. Learn everything about it. Want to learn everything about it. And someone had asked me earlier about music. Study music. Study. Listen. Just listen to things. Find out the history of bachata. Find out all the instruments. Talk about traditional music, urban modern music. The remixes, you know, and learn everything. Everything's an evolution, and we understand that that you're not gonna like everything in this world, but we all have to accept it and be on the same page, okay? So passion, love, dedication, hard work, en español. Básicamente, todo este podcast y este vlog más o menos fue enfocado en consejos sobre nuevas parejas, you know, iniciando tu carrera como bailarín, como maestro, empezando tu estudio, cómo hacer shows, diferentes cosas. Al final es simple. Con pasión se puede hacer todo. Trabajar fuerte, motivación, dedicación, comunicación, ser consistente. Todo es parte de nuestro trabajo. Ahora, entendemos que hay gente que solo quieren bailar, solo para bailar social, y está bien. Pero estamos hoy más hablando sobre la gente que quieren llevar a este baile a un nivel diferente. Y para llevarlo a ese nivel diferente, tienes que actuar diferente y tienes que trabajar mucho más fuerte. Que no hay ningún problema, o no debería haber problemas en trabajar fuerte, si hay pasión y amor sobre algo que amas. Eso es fácil, chicos. Si yo lo hice, es posible. Él lo está haciendo ahora y está de buena momentum. Momentum está de buena.
Gracias, gracias.
Está ya en una línea muy buena.
Gracias.
Y ya tú sabes, miente. So that's like a recap.
Recap. So yeah, we're gonna end this podcast, vlog, live. But let's go into real quick, CSBF, yes, Zeke, CSBF, body ready, I'm getting body ready as well.
I'm trying, Zeke. I'm trying, bro.
He's getting there. We're all getting there. But CSBF, March 23rd to 25th in Chicago. First time in Chicago. I've heard amazing, amazing things about Chicago.
They're hired for Chicago.
And there's people in Chicago. So I'm really, really, really excited. We're going to be, me and Gracie are going to be teaching a workshop. Me, Gracie, and Tony, a.k.a.
Trilogy,
is doing a Master Fusion class. It's going to be insane.
Super fun.
Tony and Gracie are going to be showcasing their TG Fusion.
Tanya and Zeke is their birthday party.
Yo, I heard that is wild, so I can't wait. I'm even getting myself some Jordans.
You better get them some Jordans.
I'm getting
for
myself
Sunday.
Some Jordans for Sunday. So it's going to be insane. We're going to be performing our first routine ever. And Tony and Grace are going to be debuting their newest routine. So I'm fucking super excited. Thank you so much for Island Touch for bringing us out. Thank you so much, Rudy. Rudy sat down with me and also gave me a lot of advice. So gracias.
Sensei.
Gracias. Y, yeah, thank you.
Let everybody know where they can find the podcast and check this
yes.
stuff out.
Yes, so literally this is not even the whole podcast. We actually spoke about how Ataca got into the bachata scene. We talked about Shine the movie. We talked about a lot more. So go check out my podcast. It's going to be released tomorrow. I have my podcast on Anchor, on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and then on my new vlog called Vlog and Dream, which pretty much revolves around my life as a young 23-year-old entrepreneur. So go check that out. Much love to everybody. Thank you so much for listening on the podcast. Thank you for so much for watching my vlog. And thank you so much, so, so much for being on this live chat. With all love, Jay Gonzalez.
Ataca!
We are
out!